Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, May 10th, 2020, Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
We're today looking at a part of God's Word that if you're a child who ever went to Sunday school, If you're a child who ever went to Sunday school, you know that, you know this particular Bible history. It's one that is very familiar. It's kind of long to read. So snuggle next to mom or dad, take a deep breath, because this is a really neat part of God's Word. It happened at a time, just so you know, for over 20 years, things had gone bad in the country of Israel. They had been following the true God, and then they let things slip. It got so bad that they couldn't worship the real God anymore, just him. They had to worship the real God and something else, something called a Baal God, an Ashtoreth God. The Baal God was, you would sacrifice babies to the Baal God. You kill them, hoping the Baal God would be pleased because they believed that the Baal God was in charge of rain and thunder and lightning. And so he was the one that is a powerful God, and therefore we should make sure that he is happy, so we'll kill our children to make sure he's happy, and that way we can be content and have our harvest. It's very wicked, isn't it? Killing babies is not part of God's plan. Ignoring God's word is not part of God's plan. But now we're going to be looking at what happens when the real God steps into history. He wanted to help these people understand who he was, and he also wanted to make sure that they were protected because the Messiah was eventually going to come from the land of Israel. How are they going to make sure that there is somebody passing on the truth? Well, he reminded them that he is a true God, that if he wants to, he can stir things up in ways that we have no idea of because he's the almighty creator of heaven and earth. And he is 100% for us. From 1 Kings chapter 18. After a long time, we know from the scriptures that's about 20-some years, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. It was during the third year. That's the third year of a drought that had happened. A drought. That's when there's no rain. There had been no rain because the guy that we're next to here is a guy by the name of Elijah. And to try and wake up everybody that what they were doing was wrong, Elijah had asked the Lord to please stop the rain. And he did. For 3 years, there was no rain. Well, if there's no rain, what happens? Crops don't grow. If there's no crops growing, there's no food. Food prices skyrocket. Water becomes really expensive. I'll start again. After a long time, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. It was during the third year. He said, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain to water the surface of the ground." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the drought was severe in Samaria. Ahab had summoned his servant Obadiah, the palace administrator. Obadiah was devoted to serving the Lord. When Jezebel was exterminating the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and kept them hidden in two caves, 50 in each cave, and he provided food and water for them. Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and all the streams. Maybe we will find enough grass so that we can keep the horses and mules alive, and we will not have to slaughter the cattle." In order to cover the whole land, they divided it between the two of them. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. While Obadiah was on the way, Elijah suddenly met him. Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" Elijah answered him, "Yes, it is." Go and tell your master, Elijah is here. But Obadiah said, how have I sinned that you would hand over your servant over to Ahab for him to kill me? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is no country or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And when they said, he's not here, then he made that kingdom and nation swear that they could not find you. But now you're telling me, go tell your master that Elijah is here? As soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to some place I do not know. And when I go to tell Ahab and he then does not find you, he will kill me, even though your servant has been devoted to the Lord since my youth. Has my Lord not been told what I did when Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I kept 100 of the prophets of the Lord hidden in 2 caves, 50 in each, and I provided food and water for them. But now you are saying, go and tell your master that Elijah is here. But Elijah said to him, as surely as the Lord of armies lives, before whom I stand, I will present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he informed him. And then Ahab came to meet Elijah. And when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab, who was a king, Ahab said to him, is that you, the one who brings trouble on Israel? Elijah said, it is not I who have brought trouble on Israel, but rather you and your father's house, because you abandoned the Lord's commandments and followed the Baals. But now, gather all Israel before me on Mount Carmel, along with 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word to all the people of Israel, and he assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Then Elijah said to all the people, how long will you stagger around on 2 crutches? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people did not answer him a single word. Then Elijah said to the people, I'm the only one left of the Lord's prophets, but the prophets of Baal, total 450 men, provide 2 bowls for us. Let them choose 1 bowl for themselves and cut it up and place it on the firewood, but they are not to light the fire. I will prepare the other bowl and place it on the firewood, but I will not light the fire. And then you will call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers with fire. He is God. All the people said, this proposal is good. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves 1 bowl, and you go first, because there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bowl, which had been given to them, and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Baal, answer us! But there was not a sound. No one answered. So they staggered around the altar which they had made. When noon came, Elijah mocked them. Shout louder! He's a god, isn't he? He may be deep in thought or busy or on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and will wake up. So they cried out with a loud voice, and according to their practice, they cut themselves with daggers and spears until their blood flowed. In afternoon, they kept up a prophetic frenzy until the time of the evening sacrifice. But there was no sound. No one answered. There was no response. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. So they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, 1 for each of the 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, and had proclaimed, your name shall be Israel. He built the stones into an altar in the name of the Lord. Around it, he made a trench big enough to hold about 25 pounds of seed. He arranged the wood, cut up the bowl, and placed it on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 jars with water, pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it again. So they did it again. And then he said, do it a third time. So they did it a third time. And the water flowed all around the altar. It even filled up the trench. When the time of the evening sacrifice had arrived, Elijah the prophet stood up and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things by your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so that this people will know that you, O Lord, are a God, and that you are turning their hearts back to you. Fire came down from the Lord, fell on the sacrifice, and on the wood, the stones, and the dirt. It even licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell on their knees and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You're scared. Maybe you're sad. In our country today, maybe you're confused. Maybe you're wondering, how come there's so much hate flowing around? How come there's so much violence? All sorts of things. You might be distracted by all this wickedness going on around you. And just like back then, the Lord's words to you and to me are, come here to me. Listen to what I have to say. The Lord our God is God. And he has a plan. And he has a purpose. And he definitely has power. That's the Lord our God. What's his plan? You and I might think, well, his plan is to get rid of all the bad stuff going on. Really. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love and faithfulness to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So how come everything's going on so bad for so long? 20 years they've been going on bad. There's one little prophet left by the name of Elijah. Everybody else was in hiding because the people in charge of the politics of that day did not like what the Lord was saying. So they tried to shut it down. They killed off the prophets. Jezebel, she hated them. Ahab hated them, so they were killed. Except for the few that were saved by Obadiah and the few, and then, of course, this one man, Elijah. Elijah probably didn't want to come into the presence of the king, who could have him killed at any time. But notice that the Lord takes the first step. He tells Elijah to go. So Elijah did. He stood before the king, and he said, I'm not the one that caused this problem. You did. The problem, king, is that there is sin that is going on that is going to hurt you and your people and cause damage maybe to God's people so that the promised line of the Savior might be hurt forever. And you can't allow that to happen. You can't sit there and serve one God and then say you're serving another God. So come here. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? What am I worried about? Am I worried about getting sick and dying? Well, maybe. Am I worried about not being able to have friends? Maybe. Am I worried that my friends are not as close to God as I am? Maybe. What are you worried about? Whatever you're worried about, you're putting a lot more credit to that thing that you're worried about than you are to God. God was at a time when nobody was giving him credit except for this guy, this Elijah guy. Nobody. So Elijah does what God wants him to do. It's kind of like God wants you to understand some things. That when you stand with God on his word, you have nothing to be afraid of. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. God's word is a powerful thing. God's word is a protecting thing. God's word has his plan for getting you and me into heaven. It's all wrapped up in Jesus, who was wrapped up in swaddling clothes and put in a manger and eventually wrapped up in clothes that you wrap up a dead body in because he suffered and he died for our sins. That was his plan. It was sad. It was painful. But his plan as his purpose to get us into heaven. So does he have the power to do that? Jesus said that the miracles he did were signs to show that he had authority. He had authority to forgive sins. So what did he do? He raised the dead, he healed the sick, made the blind people see. He has the authority. Back then, they had forgotten that God has all authority in heaven and on earth, and all power in heaven and on earth. They had forgotten that he was a creator, just like today. People are forgetting that God is a creator, and they're following this lie of evolution, thinking that things just popped into being, and then things popped into being again. We are living in times that are very similar to the time of Elijah. People don't believe God's word. They make fun of God's people. They make it really hard to gather together and worship him. And God's people always find a way. Just like back then, Elijah was not the only believer. The Lord says he's taking care of his believers in every age. But this time, the Lord said, you need to go and strike at the root of this terrible thing. So he did, started this great confrontation, this great huge war of the gods, kind of like what happened in Egypt when God took on the Pharaoh and all of his gods. Well, here is God's taking on the Baals. The Baal is a bull and a man together. It's a really weird-looking god. He has a bull's head and a man's body. And it's all pretend out of somebody's nightmare. So they took a bull and they cut it up. That should be interesting, isn't it? A bull, which is a symbol of the strength of Baal, was cut up and used as a sacrifice. Not a very strong bull. And what happened is, they're dancing around, they go to prophetic frenzy, there's all these people, 400 plus people, and they're saying, yes, come on, Baal, come on, show us. And they're very fervent, and they're very zealous. And they probably had a wonderful display of worship to their false god. We're told that no one answered. Do you know why? Because there is no God, Baal. There's only one God, the true God, the living God. And we know who that is, don't we? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Several weeks ago, you heard Pastor John remark how God says in his word that Jesus Christ is the only way, and you should be overwhelmed with thankfulness that God has made known to you and to me this wonderful truth that we're home to heaven because of what Jesus did. And there are people on this planet that do not know that. But God made sure we know that. Almost overwhelmed with thanks. But back in Elijah's day, the only one who was kind of overwhelmed was Elijah, who said, I'm standing before the Lord of armies. So he knows right where he is, but he feels all alone. Nobody else is standing with him. He's there alone, and all the people think, ah, one guy. So then he offers this sacrifice, soaks the thing with water, 12 bucketfuls of water. It fills up huge. It's just a muddy mess. And then he has this little prayer. What I love about this prayer is that God interrupts his prayer. It's hard to keep that in mind, but God knows what we're going to pray before we pray it. But he still wants us to talk with him and to ask him for things. So we follow what he says, and we talk to him and ask him for things. And so that's what Elijah did. He got up there and he said, Lord, I'm talking to you. I would like you to make people aware that you are God, that I'm your prophet, and that you're doing something to get them back to yourself. And before Elijah had hit the amen on his prayer, God sent down fire from heaven, burned up the bowl, burned up the wood, burned up the stones, burned up. There's nothing left except a smoking hole in the ground. And the people realized, oh my. we forgot. How could we have forgotten? We're told they were terrified. They said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." Maybe as this day goes by, or this month goes by, or this long time where we can't do things normally because of this thing where we're supposed to be separated from each other, maybe there's been times where you've forgotten that God is God and that Jesus is his son who he sent to rescue us. Maybe you've forgotten. God had everything written down because he knows us. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So if you forgot how powerful God is, if you forgot how loving he is, if you forgot his plan, you forgot all that stuff, remember his great passion, his love for you. He wants you in heaven. And nothing is going to get between that, between you and him. He has made sure of that. I'm convinced, the Apostle Paul said, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the past or any height or depth or anything else in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Savior. That's incredible words from an incredible God who wants us to believe him. So do that. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus and live in his name. Amen.